watching the calendar.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. So wait, is this the bright side or is that next quarter? Bernie Madoff has his day and some slippery doings off Nigeria. First, where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 and the Dow both flat right now. The NASDAQ down about a quarter of a percent. European stocks are mostly higher right now, more than a percent. And Asian markets were mixed today. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's joining us live from New York. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning to you. Second quarter coming to a close. So looking back, did we come too far too fast in this market, Sam?
Well, this quarter we were up more than 15%, so one could think we're up too far too fast. But interestingly enough, in the first 7 months of a new bull market, you end up advancing about 50% of what you typically get in the first 2 years.
But Sam, we're heading into what's traditionally the weakest quarter of the year. Any momentum left to override that?
Well, that's a very good point. Traditionally, the third quarter is the weakest, actually posting a decline since 1970. But again, brand new bull markets do tend to throw a monkey wrench into things. And we've actually found that the third quarter has risen in 11 of 14 observations following the bottom of bear markets.
And we can really call this a bull market then.
Yes, I think so. Based on the price advance that we have seen, I'd like to see a little more time under our belt to really say firmly that it is the beginning of a new bull market.
All right. Hang on a second, Sam. A major militant group in Nigeria said it attacked a Royal Dutch Shell oil platform early this morning. Authorities say they're doing all that they can to quell the violence there, but to no avail. Our Africa Bureau correspondent Gretchen Wilson looks at what they've done so far.
The militant group, called the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, says it blew up Shell's Forcados platform. Shell has only confirmed that it has shut down some of its operations. Late last week, President Umaro Yar'Adua offered amnesty to the militants. He said they would escape prosecution if they handed over their weapons. Some accepted the deal, but today's explosion suggests the government's attempt to get the oil industry back on track aren't working. Last month, Nigeria's government tried a military offensive. That approach ended with the offer of amnesty. Nigeria once dominated oil production in Africa, but the recent bombings have destroyed so much infrastructure that the country's hemorrhaging about 1 million barrels of oil a day, or a full third of its capacity. It's not yet clear whether the new attack will mean the offer of amnesty will be pulled off the table. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
All right, Sam Stovall with us again. Sam, oil's trading at $69 and rising, and we'd seen some drops in just the past few days. How much of an effect does something like this have on world oil prices?
Well, Steve, geopolitical events, these flare-ups always are wild cards in the price of oil. But I would be more concerned about disruptions in supplies from Iran than more of the same from Nigeria.
So a lot of instability in the Middle East as well.
A lot of instability around the world, but I still think that we have excess oil inventories that need to be worked off.
All right. Sam Stovall from S&P Equity. We appreciate it, Sam.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a great Monday. At the sentencing hearing of Bernard Madoff, a few of the hundreds on hand are about to speak this hour before a judge hands down his decision. Madoff pleaded guilty to a multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme. Prosecutors seek a 150-year sentence. The defense says 12 is punishment enough. Banking giant UBS will pay the U.S. somewhere between $2.5 and $4.5 billion to settle a tax probe in the next couple of weeks. The U.S. government is suing UBS to get the names of more than 50,000 Americans who have hidden billions of dollars in assets from the Internal Revenue Service.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Chrysler reopened several American assembly plants today, but it may come too late for many auto suppliers. Lear, that's spelled L-E-A-R, makes car seats and electrical components and is in default on a loan and has until tomorrow to come up with a $38 million payment. There's talk the company could file Chapter 11 as early as today. As Tamara Keith reports, the parts maker shakeout isn't such a surprise.
For years, automakers, particularly the big three, have cut costs by squeezing the margins of their suppliers, says Susan Helper. She's a professor of economics at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland.
There was a fairly explicit strategy at GM that if you're not sending a couple suppliers into bankruptcy, then you're leaving money on the table.
Helper has been studying the automotive supply chain for 25 years. She says far fewer cars are being built now, which means fewer parts need to be made.
If we have now two suppliers that are working, say, at 40% capacity, they could each go out of business, whereas there's actually business to support one supplier relatively well if you combine the demand of the two companies.
A question for the industry is whether it can contract in an orderly manner or whether more parts makers will fold than really need to. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The Apollo Group reports earnings later today. You may not know the name, but Apollo operates a very familiar company, the University of Phoenix. And things are looking pretty robust for one of the world's largest online educators, part of a trend of better performing for-profit schools. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
One university understands how you live today and where you want to go tomorrow.
Enrollment is up 20% this year at the University of Phoenix. It has nearly 400,000 students, most of them in cyberspace. And practical, trade-oriented programs like Phoenix's are what people want right now, says Terry Hartle with the American Council on Education.
During periods of economic stress, fields of study with clear occupational outcomes are the most popular with students.
Trade schools also offer flexibility, says Martin Vanderwerf, director of research services at the Chronicle of Higher Education. He says online classes are easy to fit into your schedule. And he says schools like the University of Phoenix and ITT Tech have relationships with employers and can tailor training programs to existing jobs.
The transaction between students and higher education has become much more of a retail transaction.
The downside? Cost. Vanderwerf says tuitions are high at commercial trade schools, and most students have to take out expensive private loans. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You can check out our website, marketplace.org. Look at all the fancy graphics there, and of course, see the whiteboard with Patty Hirsch, our senior editor there. Marketplace.org. Thanks for being with us in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chitakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.